Today we begin Sefer Eicha. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's begin. Okay, today we begin Megillas Eicha. Now, as an introduction, there's really only one introduction to Sefer Eicha, and that is to read a few psukim from Sefer Yirmiyah. Sefer Yirmiyah. First of all, who was the author? Who was the mechaber? Yirmiyahu was the mechaber of Sefer Yirmiyah. Yirmiyahu, he wrote Sefer Melachim. Not everyone knows that. He wrote Sefer Melachim, yes. And, just close the door all the way. And he wrote Sefer Megillas Eicha. Yirmiyahu, yes. Yirmiyahu is the author of both Sefer Melachim and Megillas Eicha. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, he alludes to this. Now, this itself is not so simple. We're going to see this is the sheet of Rashi. I'm about to tell you the sheet of Rashi. And most of the Rishonim, but not everyone, the Ibn Ezra disagrees. And he has proof that what I'm about to tell you was incorrect. But nevertheless, in Yirmiyah Perek Lamed Vav, Pasik Chof Gimel, okay, there's a story where Yehoyada, the king is Yehoyada, and Yirmiyah is warning Yehoyada that you better shape up. If you're not going to shape up and do tshuva and stop all this nonsense of the Zara, Hashem is going to destroy the base Hamish, going to bring Churban, going to exile the Jewish people. And the pasuk there says, "Vayihi." I'll read you the whole. I'll read you all the psukim. Just to Vayomer Hasarim El Baruch. Baruch was the soifer. Lechi saser ata v'yirmiyahu v'ish al yedai ifo atem v'yevo. I'm just running through the psukim over here. V'yevo el hamelech chatzera v'yes hamegila hifkidu b'lishkas el yishamo hasoifer v'yagidu b'yozne hamelech eis kol advarim. Hashem basically told Yirmiyah al piruach hakodesh to write say Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha is 5 perakim. The original version, according to Rashi, had only 3 perakim. Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Dalet. Okay? Dalet. Aleph, right, with the Aleph Beis. All the Perakim all of the Perakim follow the letters of the Aleph Beis, if I'm not mistaken. Perek Gimel has the Aleph Beis 3 times. 3 times. And the original Megillas Eicha was only Aleph, Beis, and Dalet. It would have been a much shorter service the night of Tisha B'Av if we only had the original version. However, what happened was the Megillah was written, it was sent. This is a story, we're not going to go into details. Vayishlach HaMelech as Yehudi Lokachas HaMegillah. The Melech Yehoyada, he sent for someone to retrieve. You heard about this Sefer, this Megillah that was written by Yirmiyah at the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayikochecha Melishkas Elishama HaSefer. Vayikorecha Yehudi B'yozne HaMelech. And it was read. And they read the Megillah in the presence of the king, uviozne kol hasorim ha'imdim al hamelech, in the presence of the king. This is what it says. Now again, it doesn't say anywhere in Sefer Yirmiyah that the Megillah, this scroll that was written by Yirmiyah at the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is indeed Megillas Eicha. This, according to Rashi, is tradition. We have a tradition. This was Megillas Eicha. The Hamelech Yoshe Beis HaChoyref, it was the winter time. He was sitting in the winter, in his winter palace, and they had a fireplace. And he was called an Och. An Och means a lot of wood, thick wood comes together. Och, I think really refers to the wood, the thick wood that was put in the fireplace to provide warmth for the king. And he was sitting in this winter palace, Bachodesh HaTeshi'i, in the ninth month. And the Och was burning. The Och was the winter. So the ninth month, I think, is Kislev. Is that correct? I think the ninth month is Chodesh Kislev. It's right in the middle of the winter. It's the harshest time of the winter. And the fire is burning on the fireplace. Vayihin it was. Kikroi Yehudi Shaloish Dilosois. And it was when he read. Now, there's a very difficult question, what exactly does it mean, dilosois? This word is not used too often in Tanakh. Here in the art school, it translates it as columns. Okay, that's not so simple. Some learn dilosois means psukim, or it may even mean expressions, paragraphs. There are various midrashim which elaborate upon exactly what this means, but for now we'll just translate it loosely that they read three sections, the arba'ah, three or four sections of this Megillah, and believe it or not, at this time we'll discuss the greater significance of why it says here three or four at another point in time, but he read three or four sections of this Megillah. Yikro'eha basar ha-sofer, so as a way of insult and rejecting the significance of Megillas Eicha, he took a razor and cut it out and threw it into the fire to show, leave me alone, this is nonsense. Yirmiyah is. I don't want to hear what Yirmiyah has to say. I don't want to hear what Hashem has to say. He took it and he threw it after three or four sections. Yikro'eha basar ha-sofer ve'hashlech el ho'esh, and he threw it into the fire. Asher el ho'och, that was in the fireplace, and he did this atoim kol ha-megillah al ho'esh asher al ho'och until they burned the entire Megillah. After every three, four sections, he cut out those three, four sections, threw it in the fire until they finished reading the entire Megillah. Now, in the Megillah is the Shem Hashem. And that means what the Melech did, this Melech, he did something horrible. He actually burnt in the fire Hashem's name. And the halacha requires a person, Nachman Litzlan is present when a Sefer Torah is Nisraf, you're Mechuyiv Terais Kriya. You have to do kriya when you see Hashem's name. That's why a person, when a person, Rachman Lestan, Achamev Eshem, and Yitzias Neshama, he's supposed to do kriya, because the mitzvah of a human being, of a person, and certainly Talmud Chacham, is equivalent to the sreifa of the Shem Hashem. A person, every person, the chelek melukam imal, every neshama is a portion of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when that neshama leaves this world, it's equivalent to a sefer Torah being burned in one's presence, and they have a person to rip their clothing. So here the people who were shomer Torah mitzvos that were sitting in front of the melech were mechuyev al pi halacha to rip their clothing in tsar, in avelus, for what they have just witnessed. However, they did not do so, because if they would rip their clothing, the king would put them to death. As a din of Murray B'Malchus, I'm burning this Megillah, Megillah Seicha, because I don't believe what it says, and you're going and you're doing kriya, you're rebelling against me, I'll put you to death. So therefore it's Bikuach Nefesh, and L'chor Al-Pi Halacha, they were not Mechuyiv to give their lives at this point in time. V'loi Pachadu, V'loi Karu B'gdeihem, HaMelech B'Pi, the king was not afraid, and it's V'loi Karu B'gdeihem, HaMelech V'chol Avodav, Hashem Me'is Kol Dvar Mo'ele, they didn't do anything. The Gamel Nosan Udilo Yahu Ugvigar Vigar Yahu Hifgiu Vamelech Levilti Shref. They tried to persuade the king not to do this. Don't do this. Don't go burn. One thing, you don't want to accept what it says, but don't go burn the Megillah. V'lo Shemal, he did not listen to them. Vayitzaveh HaMelech HaSirach Me'el Ben HaMelech V'yasirayahu Ben Azriel V'yas Shamel Sheh Lem Yahu Ben Avdeel. These are all the officers. Lokachas Ezboruch HaSefes Yitzi Yemiyu HaNavi V'yistereim Hashem. He told them, go and take Yirmiyah. Go get Yirmiyah and get Baruch, and put them in prison, and get them, or we'll kill them. And in the meantime, Hakadosh Baruch Hu hid them. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it's not clear what it means. Hakadosh Baruch Hu through a navi, another navi was hidden. Fine. Then the next pasuk goes on and says, "Vayi Advar Hashem El Yirmiyahu." Hashem spoke to Yirmiyahu. I'm reading you from Sefer Yirmiyahu. You don't have this in front of you. Achrei Tzreif Hamelech Hasamagilah V'Yasadvar Masher Kasa Baruch Mipi Yirmiyahu Leimar Shuv. I want you to write a second edition. Shuv kach lecha Megillah acheres uchsoiv olecha eis kol hadvarim harishanim asher hayu al haMegillah harishayna asher sarf Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda v'al Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda tamar koyam Hashem atos sarafta es haMegillah hazoyz lemar maduka sarafta olecha lemar bo yavo Melech Babel v'hishchis es haaretz hazos v'hishbis mimena adam v'heima. Therefore goes on to say that it's going to happen. All right, so then later on he writes again, V'yirmiyahu lokach megillah cheres, V'yitnu el boruch ben neiriyah, Ha-sofer, V'yichtev olecha mipi yirmiyah, Eis kol dibri ha-sofer, Shasov yoyok melech yudah bo'ish, V'oid, in addition to writing the old Megillah that was burnt, Noisaf Aleihem Dvarim Rabim Koheima, he added many, many more things, meaning he added Perek, what we call Perek Gimel, which is a very long Perek, which has the Aleph Beis repeated three times, and Perek Hey. Okay, so this is the Shoresh, these few psukim that I read over here in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Vav, is the background to the writing of Megillas Eicha. It was the time towards the end of the Churban Bayis, during the Tkuf of the Bayis, the end of the Bayis Rishon, not Mamash the end, but leading up to the end, when Yehoyakim had no, there was rampant Avodah Zarah, and Yirmiyahu was told by Hashem to write the Megillah and present it to, Yehoyakim that he should do tshuva and stop worshiping Avodah Zarah. He refused to do so, and worse, not only refused to do so, he actually burnt the Megillah, and in response, Yirmiyahu wrote a second edition that was larger, that included an additional two parakim, Perek Gimel and Perek Hey. Okay, so Blin Neder, yeah.
Why did Hashem ask him to write the second first?
Had to be preserved, because it would not be preserved for forever. We would not have it today. We would not have. Inacham, you're asking good questions. A lot of depth in this little story, which I didn't prepare. Believe that there at some point in time, through learning Megillah, we're going to come back to this. Because this, just want to throw this out in the beginning and jump into the Megillah, but this is something which we always have to return to. This story is the Shoresh of the Megillah, and in this little story over here, to understand the time, okay, we're just dropping names. It was during Yehoyakim. Who was Yehoyakim? When did he live? How much before the Churban? What was happening at that point in time? Who were these other people that were helping him? Who was Yirmiyahu? Who was Baruch ben Neriah, the Sefer? What's the significance in the fact that only three Parakim were written? What's the significance in that the two more Parakim were added? All of these questions have to be addressed, and they all are addressed here and there in little bits and pieces as you go through the five Parakim of Megillas Eicha. But everything comes back to the shoresh of this little story right over here, and we'll discuss it at some point in time. So, went to the brand, yeah.
20 years.
Only 20 years? That was it? Okay, I didn't do my homework. Okay, so Belina, we're going to come to some point in time. We'll do more detail, but this is the backdrop. Okay, with that, let's now begin.
Who said
Elio wrote it? Where did you get that? Whoever said that?
Yirmiyahu.
Yirmiyahu wrote this. This is right here. Now, I just want to point out, we're going to see Rashi says this. Rashi says this is the backdrop. Let me just present the Ibn Ezra. I think it's Ibn Ezra, if I'm not mistaken, says no, it cannot be. This story in Yirmiyahu has nothing to do with Megillas Eicha, because these psukim are the melech complains, Madua kosafta olecho lemar, bo yavoi melech bavel. Why do you write such horrible things, words that say that Melech Bavel will come, the Hishchis es haaretz hazos, he will destroy this land, the Hishbis mimeno odamu beheima. Now here's the problem. Ibn Ezra is a very tough problem. Nowhere in Megillas Eicha does it say the Churban will come about through Melech Bavel. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does it say in Megillas Eicha the Hishbis mimeno odamu beheima. And the only quotation from the entire Sefer that's from the three Parakim that were originally written by Yirmiyahu that's being presented, but that's being thrown back at him by the Yehoyakim, is the fact that it says, you wrote that Melech Bavel is going to come and destroy the land, and it's going to exile Adam and Behemah. It doesn't say that in the Megillah. There's a lot of things, but it doesn't say that. Maybe between the lines, there's Golas, you can find hints, allusions to these things, but it's not explicit. So therefore the Ibn Ezra and other Rishonim disagree. They are of the opinion that what it says here in Yirmiyahu has absolutely nothing to do with Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha was written independently by Yirmiyahu at some point in time, or maybe not even by Yirmiyahu, and that's what he only explains who wrote it. Was written by some. The Gemara says it was written by Yirmiyahu. So let's assume it was written by Yirmiyahu, but it was not necessarily written at the point in time before the Golas. It was written after the Golas.
He's describing what's going on.
So he's describing, but this is a difficult pasuk. It does say here that Melech Yoyakim says, why do you write such harsh things? Why do you write, tell me, that Melech Bavel? The Eicha talks about the Churban. It doesn't say about Bavel. It doesn't say Adam of Ahema.
He rewrote it, he changed it.
What? But the pasuk says to rewrite exactly the same thing. You have to see the pasukim in Yirmiyah in some more detail. To rewrite exactly the same thing plus add a few more things to it. So it doesn't seem that he changed. What he wrote the second time was exactly what was the first edition. It was exactly the same thing. So it's a very big problem. So this is the Ibn Ezra's question that he challenges Rashi in his Hakdama to Megillas Eicha. So we have a machlokes, a yesoidistic machlokes, Rashi on one side, with a large collection of Rishonim that support him, that this story in Perek Lamed Vav is the story of Megillas Eicha, and Ibn Ezra and others who disagree has nothing to do with Megillas Eicha, and of course it's essential to understand the background to the Megillah to get a flavor of why it was written, who was it written for, and what is the message of the Sefer. It's a Megillah. It's not a full Sefer. There's a difference between there are really four parts of Tanakh, 3/4: Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. In Ksuvim, you have a spin-off called Megillos, and the Megillah has lesser sanctity than a Sefer. There's even the difference in how it's written, how much space you leave on top, the margins, on the bottom. Do you have amudim? Do you have atzechayim? It has a lesser. Is it metame yodayim like other sifrei kodesh? There are different opinions with regard to the kedusha, the sanctity of a megillah verse, the sanctity of other things that are called sefarim. Okay, but it's a megillah. Okay.
Was Yirmiyahu who was successful?
Was Yirmiyah a successful Navi? No one was a successful Navi. No one was successful. He was, from all of the Nevi'im, he was by far the most abused.
Yes.
He suffered the most abuse. He was thrown into a dungeon. They plucked out his beard. Can you imagine? They tortured him. Physical torture. The Jewish people. The Haredim. He was tortured to death. What?
Can we look for this whole thing?
Yes, in Yirmiyah, and Sefer Yirmiyah is described. It's described. Sefer Yirmiyah is very easy. It's very easy to read. Sefer Yirmiyah reads almost like a Malachim. What?
In other words, can we see this in Sefer?
No. No, in Sefer Eicha you don't see any personal record. No.
Yirmiyah was a narrative.
That's a very interesting difficulty with Sefer Megillah Seicha. We just finished learning Rus. Rus is a narrative. It's a story. The psukim follow one from the other. Sefer Megillah Seicha is difficult because it's not a narrative. Every pasuk is an independent idea, an independent theme, and we don't necessarily see a connection between one pasuk and the next. And that on the one hand makes it easy because you don't have to connect the dots, but on the other hand it makes it frustrating. It makes it, you like a certain connection in a theme to take you through the psukim, and you don't get that sense when you learn Megillas Eicha. Okay, let's jump into the psukim. Okay, the first word of Eicha is the word, obviously, Eicha. What is the meaning, the translation of the word Eicha? So there, in fact, as the Gemara discusses, some say Eicha is a lament. It's a kina. A kina, Eicha means oy. It's basically what we say to oyve. The same way we say to oyve, so in ancient times they said Eicha, oy. How could this possibly be? Yoshva Vodod, this glorious city, Klal Yisrael, is now sitting in isolation. They're all alone. No one is there. The Pasuk is going to go on and describe their downfall. They've gone from the highest elevation to the lowest depths, and they're all alone. Eicha, oy, how can this possibly be? That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is, Eicha means how. It's not a lament.
How could it be?
How could this be? How could this be? Where did we go wrong? It's a question. If it's a question, it's difficult because it then should say Eich. The Chof is out of place. It should be Eich, not Eicha. Nevertheless, commentators are not bothered. You know, obviously, ayin panim and Torah has multiple meanings, and that's why we have to also wear the hey to give us the other translation, echa oive, echa woe. But also simply means this, echa means, how did this happen? Where did we go wrong? What exactly is the source, the sheresh of our sins? Always very satisfying to know why. No, it's not going to make a difference, obviously. Every time we hear about a terrible rachmanta, we hear about a tragedy. So we always want to know who did it. Justice. Let's find the perpetrator. Let's find the murderer. And then what? What are you going to do then? Is it going to bring back the victim back to life? The rachmanta said there was a fire. What was the cause of the fire? Why did it happen? Is it going to really make a difference?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
It's not going to bring back the dead. For the future. Okay, for the next step, to prevent that such a thing should not happen in the future. We'll know who the murderer is, so he should not go around and kill other people. But most of the time, the people, many times, that's the reason why the people, they want justice. They want justice. They want this person committed a crime. Justice must be served. We have to find the murderer, the perpetrator. And if that's called justice, very good. You have justice. Death penalty. We got the murderer. We found the cause. Now you're happy. You're not happy. There's no satisfaction. The victim has not been brought back to life. The law. It's closure. Oh, so it's closure. And a chanami closure. So at least you have something. But when we're dealing with Tanakh, see, this is the difference. It's one thing, closure. Who says we're entitled to closure? Think about that. It's selfish.
It's a closure. Psychological concept.
Closure, very good. You want to know who did it. I want to have closure. Why do you need closure? Tzedek tirdof means give me back my money. You stole, there's retribution. That's not a case of bringing the dead back to life. Let's talk about a situation where there's a loss that is irrecoverable. You want closure. Why do you want closure? For whose sake? My own good feeling. I want satisfaction. That's very good. It's a beautiful thing. But we're not learning here. We're not learning Sefer Eicha, Megillah Eicha, as a secular book of satisfaction for ourselves. This is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is for Klal Yisrael. You have to look at Megillah Eicha as a religious text. You want closure for your own selfish reasons? Is that what you want closure for? You have to do. That's not the reason for closure. The purpose is to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to give honor to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if the question of Eicha, how did this happen? What can we learn from in order to do tshuva to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and not let this happen again? Yes, that's a very important reason. But just Eicha, to have closure, to know why it happened, to understand in history what exactly happened, and has no nafkamina for us. But at least satisfaction, secular history, to know how things fell into place, that's not a proper reason to ask Eicha. The only proper reason to ask Eicha is to learn a moral lesson, is to use this as a springboard to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that's one. Another interpretation of Eicha, it's not meant to be read as a word, but it's meant to be read as a contraction or composite of other words. And the most popular interpretation, as we recite an entire kina, is Eicho. There is a kina on Tisha B'Av, which goes to, I think, 11, 12 different examples in Tanakh where the word ko is used in a very beautiful and positive, encouraging way. B'roi Sham is ko yihyeh zar'acha. I didn't go look up the kina, but that's the one that the Mepharshim here quote. Ko yihyeh zar'acha. Like the Shverach who promises Avram Avinu that I will make you into a nation apart. You will be the Am HaNivchar. And look at the stars and try to count them, and just as you realize you cannot count the stars, likewise, ko yihye zaracha. And here, Eicha, Chorbin, Klal Yisrael is in Golus. We are persecuted, we have been diminished. Eicho, what has happened to the ko yihye zaracha? Like Birchas Kohanim, Kosi Baruch Hu es Bnei Yisrael. I don't know, there are 11 of them. I think there are 11 different examples of where in Tanakh it says the word Ko in a very Ko Amar Hashem. Kachatzos Halayla Ni Yotzei B'soch Mitzrayim. There are many examples. Many examples of Ko. A, what happened to all these glorious events? What happened? How could it be that we have stooped so low? Okay, another interpretation is Eicha comes is this is a medrash. Eicha Yirmiyah says the reason why you have been punished is because Aleph, you have rejected the Alufay Shel Olam, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yud represents the Aseres Hadibros. Chaf represents Bris Milah. Why does Chaf represent Bris Milah? It was given to Avram Avinu, who lived in the 20th generation since creation. And He represents the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So the question, the word itself is answering the question. That's a very difficult part to this question. Because where in the Psukim do we get an answer? See, Mr. Rappaport, that's part of the difficulty of translating the word Eicha as why. Eicha, how? When you ask a question, you expect an answer. Where is the answer? So I'll show you. There are going to be some hints to what the answer is, even in the very first pasuk. But on a very simple level, where is the answer? So the Medrash says, the answer to Eicha, how did this happen, is found in the word Eicha itself. Do you know why this happened? Because you rejected the Ribbono Shel Olam, Aleph. You rejected the Aseres HaDibros. You rejected Bris Milah, the Bris Hashem made with the Avos. And you rejected Chamish Shechom Shei Torah. And that's why you deserve what has happened to you. Okay, another remez. We mentioned that the one who wrote the Sefer was the... Oh, you're asking a good question, because we know the Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of the big three of the Zorah, Gilarai, Shvich, Astam. The Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And here I'm telling you a Medrash that Eicha says it's the whole thing, it's the big picture. It's the Bris, it's Hashem, Aser Sadibrois, it's Chamish Shechem Shetoris, so Enechanami. Either are different. I mean, the Gemara says, Allah of Doris, the Gemara gives, I think, 11 examples, 11 reasons, maybe 10 reasons, of why the Bayis Hamidosh was destroyed. But we know it was destroyed because of the Zorah, Gilarai, Shvich, So how do you reconcile that with one? The Chalukidei is exactly why the base Hamidosh was destroyed. Okay, now there's another Rashi Tevos. Eicha, we mentioned in the Rashi, but it was written by Yirmiyahu. Eicha stands for Ani Yirmiyahu Kohen, the Kohen. Ho Anososi from Anosos. Yirmiyah was the prophet of Anosos. Every prophet had their territory, had their turf. You don't mess with the Navi. Everyone like a chashul, it's a community. Yirmiyah, you don't encroach on another everyone has their territory. Yirmiyah was the Navi of Anosos, so therefore Ani Yirmiyahu Kohen Anosos, the priest of Anosos. I have said the following message, have relayed to Klal Yisrael the following message in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's what it says in the Medrash. Okay, now let's right away jump to the Rashi. Rashi says, Eicha, no, we need the pasuk. Let's read the pasuk first. Eicha, Yosh, Eicha, Yoshva Vodod. How could it possibly be? Or, Oy, Yoshva Vodod. She, referring to Klal Yisrael, or referring to, there are many interpretations, Klal Yisrael referring to the Yerushalayim, or referring to the Shechina, but we'll learn Pashup Shana refers to Klal Yisrael. Yoshva, she sits Vodod, in isolation. She sits all alone. Ha'ir, the city, Rabosiyam, that was once populated, was once great with people, with a nation, a very large, great nation. Hoysa Kealmona has now become like a widow. Rabosi Vagoyim, a nation that was once great among nations, the leader of the nations. Sarosi Bamedinos, what was once the princess, a tsar, a princess among the provinces, meaning among all of the countries of the world. How could it possibly be now? Hoysa Lamas is a people that has to pay tax to provide tribute to other countries. We're now under the authority of a foreign nation, specifically Bayis Rishon Bavel, Bayis Sheni Rome. We're now under their authority. All of this seemingly goes back to Eicha. All of this, we refer back to Eicha. How could all of this have come about? The city that was once Rabosi Om Hoysa has become Almana. How could it be the Rabosi Bagoyim has become Sos Bablinos? How could all of a sudden we stooped so low? Let's see the Rashi. Rashi Eicha Yosha Bodot. Yirmiyah Kosaf Sefer Kinos. Okay, and very important Yisod. Eicha is called in the vocabulary of Chazal Kinos. If you ask the average person on the street what's Kinos, they'll tell you on Tisha B'Av we read Kinos. That's true. But the Ikar Kino is Sefer Eicha, Megillas Eicha. In fact, some have the custom to read Eicha in the morning as well. If the minig is,
why we don't?
Baby Tircha de Tziburo. There's a pasuk over here says, there's a medrash that says that we read at night. We'll see it later on. But the Ikar Kino, Sefer Yirmiya, is called a Kino, and that's how Chazal refer to it. They don't even call it a Megillah. They called it Sefer Kinois. This is Rashi here is saying something which is controversial. We take this for granted because we don't learn too often other Rishonim. But when you learn other Rishonim, you see that with Rashi, every time Rashi makes a statement, you can bet your bottom dollar that Rashi is coming to reject what he saw from someone else. That's how Rashi works. Rashi was a Malakit. Rashi very much was a Malakit, that he was one of the first Malaktim. The very first Malach, we take it for granted today that, but what he did was very novel, to go look at what other people said and select, pick and choose from a collection of writings what he felt was the primary, the most important Chazal. Rashi took note that there's a controversy if this Sefer is what is referred to in Megillah, in Sefer Yirmi that we discussed, and Rashi says it's right, Yirmi because of Sefer Kina, Sehi HaMegillah, Sher Sorat Yehoyakim, it was the Sefer, that was the Megillah that was burned by Yehoyakim, Al He'och, the fireplace, Asher Al Ho'esh, which was on the fire, V'hoyuba Shalosh Aleph Besos, the original version, the first edition of Megillah Seicha had only three parakim, what we call Perik Aleph, Perik Beis, and Perik Dalit, Eicha Yosha, that's Aleph, Eicha Yoiv, how was the gold, the fine gold dolt, that's Perik Beis, Eicha Yuam, okay, so Eicha Yoiv is how was it thickened, like a cloud, and Eicha Yuam was it darkened, the gold, that's Perik Aleph, Perik Beis, and Perik Dalit. Shuv, after it was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I want you to write a second edition, and the second edition will include another two parakim. Shuv Hoysef Olof Ani HaGever, that's Perik Gimel, Shuhu Sholosh Aleph Beisin, Sheni, V'oid Noisef Alem Dvar Rabim, Kehema, like this, Shalosh, Keneged Shalosh, he wrote me more things, three corresponding to three, meaning the three came Kahima Shalosh, Keneged Shalosh. Okay, three Keneged three. I think that means that Paragimel has the three Aleph bases. Three Aleph bases is a repetition. I'm not sure what that means exactly. We'll come to it maybe a little bit later on when we learn Paragimel. But he wrote Paragimel, which Shalosh Keneged Shalosh. I think what it means is that he wrote already three Parakim, right? Aleph, Beis, and Dalit. Paragimel is Shokol Keneged Kulam. Paragimel repeats the Aleph Beis three times. As we're going to see in Perek Aleph, we go through the Aleph Beis once. Perek Beis, we go through the Aleph Beis also once. And Perek Dal, we go through the Aleph Beis again once. Perek Gimel repeats the Aleph Beis three times. So Perek Gimel is Shokol Keneged Kulam. The second edition was double. When it was destroyed and burnt in the fire by Yehoyakim, he wrote it again. Shalosh Keneged Shalosh. And the theme of Perek Gimel is equivalent to the theme of Perek Aleph Beis and Dalet. Badad, what does it mean, Badad? Galmud miyoshvecha, empty. Galmud means bereft. Bereft miyoshvecha from its inhabitants. So Badad does not mean, I translated Badad, another Rishonim translated in that way. Badad means isolation. Badad yeshev michutz lamachaneh mashavu. In the Torah it means something different. Badad there means all alone. You're all alone with no company. No one to talk to you, no one to encourage you, no one to mechazik you. Badad yeshev. That's not the way Rashi translates the word badad in this context. Galmud meyoshvecha, it means empty. Emptied out. Yerushalayim was bare, barren. Chazal say, for 52 years, time of the Bayis Rishon, a human being, not even an animal or a bird, entered into the land, into Eretz Yisrael. Completely barren. That's what it means. Galmud, bereft, empty, cleaned out, miyoshvecha. Rabosiyam, Rashi here points out that according to the rules of grammar, the yud of Rabosi is superfluous. And the yud of twice, Rabosi and also Sarosi. Rabosiyam, Rabosi vagoyim, Sarosi bamedinois. It should have said Rabosom, Rabos vagoyim, Sar bamedinois. The yud, well, this is focused on the suf and the yud, but at least on the rabosi, the yud of these words are superfluous. So why is it there? Yud yisera kiboy rabas am shohaisa ima. Rabas am shohaisa ima, the large number of people that were originally part of the city. Period. Now, why then is the yud there? So the first book says, because yud connotes greatness. This is a style of writing that even though the yud is not necessary, we add yud to emphasize, to exaggerate, not to exaggerate, but to express the idea of more. It wasn't just a large city; it was a city that was busting by the seams. Next,
when there's a large letter.
Yes. Yes. Yigdal na koyach Hashem. In this parsha, is a large yud. Yigdal na koyach Hashem. Hashem's hand be very strong. And sort of the miragum. So, but here we have a yud. It's not large. This yud. It's just a yud. And the yud here is come to connote greatness. Yud yisera k'moy rabas am shohisa ima. As if it would have said the rabas am, a large number of people that was once in this city. Shahaisa ima Rav. The what?
Amo.
Shahaisa Amo of Shahaisa Amo Rav. Sorry, the Amo of the nation that was there was very large. Period. Now, Yesh Midrash Agado Harbe. Rashi over here is telling us that there are a lot of Midrashim, but you should be aware, I'm not going to go through every single Midrash for you. That's for you to do. V'ani basi l'farish l'shayin ha-mikro k'mashmoy. I'm only coming here to explain the Mikra according to its simple translation. Okay, so Rashi here is giving us a warning. Rashi does not always do this when dealing with a Sefer. Rashi, the fact that he needs to tell us this over here is indicating this Sefer is a bit different. The Sefer is full of Midrashim. That's not my mission here. My mission is simple pshat. Next, Hoysa ki'almana. She was like a widow. So Rashi points out the chof hadin v'loy almana mamish. Ella ki isha shahalach ba'ala l'dinas hayam v'dayit l'achzor l'etzla, and her husband's coming back towards her. That is a very important part because over here Rashi's coming to reject. We're going to discuss this in a few moments. There are conflicting psukim in Tanakh if HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually divorced Klal Yisrael. Now there's a very big nafkamina. The very big difference between a man and a wife who are separated and a man and a wife that are divorced. When there's a divorce, there's no guarantee that the husband will take back his wife. When we are in Golos, we are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem has exiled us among the Umos. What does that mean? Does it mean Hashem has divorced us? Or does that just mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated himself from us? The nafkamina is, when we want to come back, do we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remarry us? Machzir Gidushasai. And there's also halacha that if a woman is divorced from her husband and she marries someone else and gets divorced from that second husband, according to halacha, she's no longer allowed to come back to her original husband. That would then mean that if we are yearning HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take us back, if we have contaminated ourselves in Golus by Kaviyachal, the equivalent of embracing and marrying the Umal Sa'olam, Chas V'Shalom, that would mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't take us back, because that's the rules that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have established for us. On the other hand, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never really gave us a divorce, it's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has distanced himself from us, so then the law is that, first of all, we're legally married, and even if Chas V'Shalom we've been involved in a relationship that is Ishlai Kedin, so there are rules, there is a way out, there are hechatim, so where we would still be permitted to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi, so we're going to see some of the Mepharshim learn Kaviyachal that really from some sukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did divorce us. And that's very problematic. Rashi is coming to reject this idea by taking note Ki Almana. We're not mamish and almana. We're not a widow. It's HaKadosh, we're like a widow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really married to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just temporarily has distanced himself, like he went to Medina Sayyam. Ki isha shalach bala le Medina Sayyam v'dayte, the intent of the husband is lach sur lecha deko etzla, to come back towards her husband. Okay, so that concludes Rashi with Pasuk Aleph. Now we go to the Targum. Yes.
Isn't there in the Teichich in the Chukaisa is a Pasuk? Ba'afgam zois ki yoysam ba'eretz hebeim loy ma'asfim loy ga'altam lecha'loysam
bo'am lecha'loysam oyin ha'chanam. So that's what Rashi is. That's what the pasuk of Ke'almona, that it's not a complete separation. It's exactly the point what it's coming to mention. That's only Ke'almona, but it's not a complete separation. Okay, let's see the Targum. The Targum, what I'm going to come to in a few moments. I just want to go to the Targum first. The Targum in the first parak, the first prakim, is a bit long. The later prakim is much, much shorter, but we have some very fascinating Targumim in the first parak, at least the first parak. So here we go. Omar.
It's a commentary more than a...
Right, right. And it adds a lot of bay, a lot of fascinating things. Kedai to learn.
This Targum of Yenis and Benazil basically is more a commentary than a Targum.
Depends. It depends where and what. It depends. Yeah. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. So here, at least for the first few psukim, we're going to see a lot of very fascinating things. Let's see. Here we go. Omar Yirmiyahu Nidiyah. So here we have two tiles. The Yirmiyah, first of all, who is Yirmiyah? Who is the author of the Sefer? Targum adds in right away, you should know the author is Yirmiyah. Who is Yirmiyah? Let me give you his bio. Let me give you his resume. Number one, he was a Nevi'ah. He was a prophet. Number two, now here is something which all of the commentators conclude, Soruch in Gadol. We do not know what this means. We have no makar for this other than when it says the Targum is a Nezil. V'chahano Rabah, which literally means he was a Kohen Gadol. Really? There's no record of this. No. Not in Chazal, not in Medrash, that he was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen. Kohen Gadol, he served in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol. Nowhere does it say this. Yet it says this here in the Targum. Targum is not to be taken lightly. Okay, we'll leave it with that as a Tzarech in Gadol, what this means. So Omar Yirmiyahu Nevi'ah V'chan Rabbah, he says as follows. Eid Eich Dein. So right away, what does Eich Dein mean? It means Eich, how? He's taking sides. It does not mean, it's not a lament. It's not Oive. Targum is taking sides. Eicha means, how did this happen? How could it possibly be? Now, by the way, whenever you have a question, you expect an answer. So there's another, is this a rhetorical question? Or is this a question which will result in an answer? But first thing first, Eich Dein means how. How? Question. Yiskizar, was it decreed al Yerushalayim? So we know now that when it says Yoshva Vodod, we are referring to Yerushalayim. We're not referring to the Shechina. We're not referring to Klal Yisrael. We're not referring to Eretz Yisrael. We're referring specifically to Yerushalayim. And we're not even referring to Tzion. What's the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? That's a discussion to itself. But over here, the Targum, every word of the Targum is very precise and it's full of commentary. Yirmiyahu is the author. That's a chiddush. Who says he's the author? Yirmiyahu is a Navi. Yirmiyahu is a Kohen Gadol. Eicha means how. How did Yerushalayim. How did it happen? That was the Gezerah al Yerushalayim. The al Amoha, and another thing, it means also upon the nation. Okay, the second important is Le'is Dona, to be judged, to be punished, Din, Besiruchin. Besiruchin means to be exiled. Exile, which means basically divorce. Tiruchin is one of the translations of divorce. So he's staking it's a very powerful word. Not like Rashi.
What does Al Amoha
mean? Nation. Upon the nation. Al Yerushalayim. The Al he's saying is referring to two things. Number one, on Yerushalayim. Doesn't say Tzion. What does it say Tzion? The nation, the people, the human beings. The nation of Israel. The people. He doesn't say the word Tzion. There's a fundamental, there's a major difference. We're going to have many psukim in Eicha that say the word Tzion. Tzion is a very popular word in Megillas Eicha. So why is the Targum saying Yerushalayim? Why does he say Tzion? Al Tzion v'al Amoha. He used Yerushalayim. We'll come to that another time. V'al Amoha, and upon the people, upon the people, is did not to be judged b'siruchin, divorce. That's powerful stuff. Divorce is not a very pleasant thing. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi said, Chayisa Kalmona, don't think we were divorced. They were married. We never got divorced. Chas v'shalom. We're married. We're like a widow. Like a widow. Not mamish a widow. Our husband is at Medina Sayam. He's on business. He's on business. He's coming back soon. No. Targum says, divorce. Ulimispeid e la vehon. And how... And to mourn, to mourn upon them. How was it? This goes back to what Yizkazar was. It decreed upon Yerushalayim and the nation that they should be judged with divorce, and it was also decreed upon them that it should be misspelled, mourned. Ila vehon, the word echa means. Here he's saying the word echa means another translation, a lament, hechma. Just like, we're going now into a third interpretation of Eicha Ayeka. Okay, listen to a few more words, we'll come back and explain. Hechma means just like, how was it decreed upon the Jewish people that it should be, that they should be mourning, lament? Just like it was lamented upon Adam and Chava, Hechma, like the Isnidu, it was judged Adam and Chava, the Isrichu, they were divorced. Or they were driven out. Niginsa de Eden, Gan Eden, the Aspid. They were separated. Israel means to be divorced. And this kind of means the Gorish. Vayigorish Hashem es Adam. Hashem drove him out. Niginsa de Eden, the Aspid. And Hashem eulogized Mori Alma, the master, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Alei Vehoin upon them, Eicha. When did Hashem say Eicha? Vayomer lo Adam Ayeka, where are you? Ayeka, Anas. So that Ayeka. Before we go further, we take away from this targum, an incredible targum. That the targum basically covers all bases, and he's basically, you read between the lines. He said that the word Eichum has three translations. Eichum means Eich, how. Eicha is a lament, hespet, and Eicha means. Eicha means, Ayeka. Ayeka means, well, it's similar. He's connecting it to Adam, to Ayeka, to where, like just like Hashem said about Adam, Eicha, and there Hashem never said Eicha. Hashem said to Adam, Ayeka, same letters with a different pronunciation. Where are you? Targum over here in one word, in his long sentence, is translating the word Eicha three different ways. He starts off Eichdein. Eichdein means how. Number two, he says it was Gnigzar upon Yerushalayim and upon the Amor, upon the nation, Hespet. Hespet means Oivei. Eicha means Oivei. And number three, we take the word Eicha, we connect it to Adam and Chava, Ayeka. Where are you? What has happened to you? Where are you hiding? Are you hiding from me? Where are you hiding from me? So here, that's what the Targum over here does in this one sentence. Okay, then we go to the Gospel. So then is the answer. Anas. The Targum does something that no one else does. He tells us that the pasuk answers its own question. Anas midas dino. The midas hadin responds. V'chein amoras, and says as follows. I'll tell you the answer. You know why this happened? Al sigius, the abundance, chovo'o, because of the sin, the great sin. Ishtirud di v'gahava, that was present. Ishtirud means was living. Ishtirud means rebellion. It means rebellion. Ishtirud means rebellion. The rebellion di v'gahava, that. No, I think here he translates in the translation I have means rebellion. The answer al roiv avoino umered. Ishtidur, di begavo asha bekirba. Uvigin, also because Uvigin came because of this, tehei yasva bilchoidoha, it should live bilchoidoha in isolation, kigvar, like a person, dimachtash, sagiru al bisre, like a person afflicted with tsaras. All new concept. A person that's afflicted with tsaras, segir means tsaras al bisrei, di vilchodi, that such a person, vilchodei yosev, has to live in isolation. Now let's go step by step. That's bodad yoshev bodad, but before we go further, look what he's doing, yoshva. The Targum says yoshva does not mean like all of the English translations that we come across, all of the mefarshim yoshva, that she sits. She sits in solitude. That's not the translation. Yoshva is really two words. Yeshba. Yeshba, comma. You know why? You know what the answer to Eicha? How did this happen? How was it possible that it was decreed upon her Oive? How did it happen that Klal Yisrael became like Adam HaRishon of Ayeka to be driven out of Gan Eden? You know why? Answer is one word. Yesh Ba. There is in her terrible, terrible sins. And the pasuk was kind enough not to reveal what the sins are. Dai lecha bechakima v'remiza. It's enough for me just to hint to you. Let me hint. Yesh ba. There are problems. Like he asked someone about a shidduch. Do you know about this guy? I know about him. There's what to say about him. Right, there's what, you hear that about people? There's what to say. Once you hear that expression, there's what to say, you know, stay away. That's exactly the answer. Yesh ba. And Targum translates, what's the yesh ba? This great sins and rebellion that is found in the city. And therefore, the punishment is badad. They shall be in isolation. Now notice the Targum is learning now like Rashi. Rashi teaches the word bodo to mean galmuda meyoshvecha, that the city should be desolate. The city is desolate for 52 years from the Churban Bayis Rishon. There was not one living person in, not one living creature to be found in the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's not how Rashi says. Rashi says, we're not talking about Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. They have been exiled and put in isolation. None of the nations of the world want to have anything to do with the survivors of Klal Yisrael. Bodad Yeshev, just like a person stricken with tsaras, a person stricken with Tsaras has to be sent out of the Shalosh Machanos and is bodad yeshiv mechutz lamachaneh mashavai. So what is this referring to? Now there's a lot of discussion of all these sukkim referring to the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni. What does Tsaras come from? Tsaras comes from Lashon Hara. What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is the Sharish of Sinas Chinam. So on the one hand, you can. We're talking over here about the Bayis Rishon, we're talking about the Bayis Sheni. It alludes to both, obviously, but the Targum over here says there was great Averos. And Bada, the punishment is a punishment of Tsaras. Now, being the punishment of Tsaras, it has much more flavor when we learn in the beginning of the pasuk that this was authored by Yirmiyah, and we have to know that Yirmiyah was a Kohen. Why is that relevant? I bet you the average person doesn't even know that Yirmiyah was a Kohen. Everyone knows that Yirmiyah was a Navi, because Yirmiyah is one of the Sifrei Nevi'im. But why is it relevant to know that Yirmiyah is a Kohen? Well, the answer is, when you're dealing with Lashon Hara, and you're dealing with Tsaras, the only one that has the authority authority to put a person in quarantine and declares the kohen. So now, obviously, now the targum is coming to life. Badad, the badad means that this cloudy soul has to be put in isolation outside of the Sholosh Machanos, like a mitzvah. And a mitzvah, you need someone like me, who is a kohen gadol, to tell you all the rules, to determine, tell you all the rules of tzaras. Okay, now, let's go further in the targum. Okay, this city that at one point in time Havas Malya that was once numerous in numbers. Oichleisen means population. The population was off the charts, in very great numbers. The Amimin Sagin, and a nation that was, he translates over here, Sorosi ba Medinois means, it means Rabosi ba Goyim, Sodi, I'm sorry, Rabosi Yom Hoysa Kalmona. Is that translated here? The Amin Sagiin is Roikinas Minhoin. They have been emptied out from their numbers. The city has been emptied out from its numbers. The Havas Damya, she's like Ke'armel, like a widow. The Dimis Rav Revo, the Am Maya, this nation that was once very great among the nations. The Shalitaya Be'af Be. Afarchaya, that was a shalit, a ruler among all of the other provinces. Vahava Maskin Lo Misin. Now here he is, something very important. It used to be a country that other countries would pay tax to. They were the recipients of tributes. That means that our authority extended over the entire world. Now Hadras Lemehve Makiva. Now it has turned into Shma Kiva means Shafala, turned into a low nation. Ulimitan Kargo Lohoin, and now they are the ones a subservient Bosar Duna. Afterwards, are the ones. Velosis Lohem Masim. They are the ones who have to now give losses. And taxes are imposed upon them. Ulimitan Kargo Lohoin. Taxes are imposed upon the Jewish people to give from here on, and the tables have been turned. See, this does not say in the pasuk. All this pasuk just says, Hoysa Lamas. She now has become a nation that has to pay tax. But the Targum says it's been transformed. And until now, we were the ones that were receiving the tax money. Now we are the ones that are giving away the tax money. Okay, so this is just a little bit of the Targum now. There are a couple of things I want to point out. Okay, first of all, the Targum translates kargo, kirago. Taxes is not, there are different types of taxes. When you started the Gemara very often talks about paying taxes. And there are different types of taxes. There is land tax, there is, okay, that's the kirago is specifically head tax. And then there is, okay, we have to wait, land tax. Other different types of tax. I feel there are a lot of different terms. The Targum, for whatever reason, was very. If you take the pasuk very translated literally, Haisa Lamas. Lamas is a general term which means that Klal Yisrael now is required to pay tax, but doesn't tell us what kind of tax. We'll pay tax for owning land, tax for income tax, tax for crossing the bridges, tax for transportation, death tax.
Are you describing New York State?
We can go, the list goes on and on, right? Pay for gasoline, your cell phone. You know how much you're paying tax on your cell phone? You know, you ever read the bill, what you're paying? It's unbelievable how much tax they charge you. And now they're going to soon start internet tax, right? You want to go online, you pay either Optimum or you're paying whatever, you're going online. Internet, you got to pay taxes on the internet. Everything is a tax. You have to pay tax on water, tax on the air you breathe. Someone's got to make money. So you would expect, so now the Klal Yisrael we're in Golos, we got to pay taxes. And they take advantage. Rashi, the Targum, I'm just pointing this out. I don't know the significance of this, but there is something very deep here. The Targum focused specifically on head tax. The Iker tax seemingly means it's the most demeaning type of tax. You're a Jew. You're paying because who you are. You're not paying tax because you've earned money. If you earn money, we could understand, then maybe it's nothing personal. We have a country. We have a country to support, so we're going to charge people for their income. Head tax means just your existence is a reason for us to take advantage. It's a very demeaning type of tax, head tax. And that is what it says over here. And also, it's not something you can get away with. Tam Chazal, they were tax collectors. And the tax collectors, basically, the king said, listen, I'm not getting involved in taxes. You just make sure I get $1 million. I want $1 million a week. You figure out how to get me $1 million. So the tax collector has, you know, has discretion. You don't have to pay tax. You have to pay tax. We'll charge you more for this, for that. There are different ways. It's nothing personal. It's just a matter of raising money. When you raise money, some people give more, some people give less. You figure it out. But a head tax, no one's exempt. Head tax means every single person has to pay the tax no matter what. This is how I take credit. It's a demeaning form of... It's humiliating when another nation is demanding from the Jewish people a head tax. Don't count us. We're a nation apart. We're separate. Leave us alone. No, hoy solamas, what karnamas, ki raga, the mass of head tax.
The beginning.
What?
The beginning, and it's the history, and then throughout Jewish history.
Discriminatory. Exactly.
That's the very first one.
So this is something alluded to. I believe is alluded to here in this targum. The type, the discriminatory tax of the Karaga, compared to other forms of tax we have in the Gemara. Okay, another point I wanted to mention is that we said that the Targum introduces a very fascinating idea, which is not obvious: is what's the answer to Eicha? The answer is Yesh Ba. Big problems. There are big problems with these people. They have plenty more to talk about. It's not a coincidence that the last Mishnah in Shisha Siddur Mishnah says that the reward for studying Torah is Lahanchil Oyhavai Yesh. It's Zelu Umazeh. It's the extremes. Instead of Hashem is complaining, instead of Lahanchil Oyhavai Yesh, instead of bequeathing to my beloved, Yesh Shai Olamos. Okay, Shai Olamos. 310 worlds, which has a lot greater meaning, deeper meaning. Now, the word is being played, Yesh, they got big problems. They're rebellious and they're sinners. Yesh also, we want to discuss, Yesh stands for Yirah Shamayim. And Yesh also stands for Yovel and Shemitah. Yovel and Shemitah represents Yishuv Eretz. That's one of the major chatoim, if not the most significant chet, which comes up over and over. Why were we exiled for exactly 70 years? To make up for the 70 Shemitahs that were not fully observed. Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah and Yovel is an acknowledgement, Kili Haaretz, that the land belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You don't want to accept the land, you don't want to observe Shemitah and Yovel, you don't want to acknowledge that it's my land, it's Eretz that belongs to me, so get out. Get out of Eretz Yisrael, go to Golas. So here the very first pasuk is Eicha, and this again, this is a theme which you have all over the Sefer. Eicha, how could this happen? The answer is Yesh Ba. Yesh is Rosh Tevos. Yovel Shemitah Ba means they did not observe. You want to have something, you want to talk about something? Let's talk about Yovel and Shemitah. They didn't observe Yovel or Shemitah. Out. It's time to drive them out. Like Adam Harishon was driven, Vayigoresh Esa Adam. Adam was driven from Gan Eden, and Hashem says to Adam, Ayeka, where are you? The same exact thing Hashem drove us out because we failed to acknowledge that this is the Kadosh Baruch Hu's land of Yovel and Shemitah. Okay, we also mentioned this idea of Alman. Now, let me point out the psukim, the contradictory psukim. We read these psukim in the Haftorahs. In the Haftorah, leading up the Gimel Paranusa and the Zayin de Nechemta, three weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, we read three Haftorahs, the Ben Amtsarim, the Gimel de Paranusa, punishments, and then we read the Haftorah the next 7 weeks of Nechama. But in one of them, the Haftorahs of Nechama, it says, Hashem says, don't think that just because you're in Golos, you can do Averos. Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem. Hashem says to Yeshaya, show me your bill of divorce. Did I ever divorce you? Did I ever give you a divorce? Show me. You're going to go, you're going to have a relationship with the Umo Sa'olam? You can't do that. You're married to me, Hashem says. You're my wife. How dare you be disloyal? Or what you're telling me, I divorced you? Really? I never divorced you. Show me the get. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Where is the divorce of your mother? A mother here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Problem is a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perigil, pasuk that says, Shilochecha, Shilachtiha, I sent her away, V'etein a sefer kiri suseho eleha, and I have given her bill of divorce. So it's beferish, Hashem did give us a bill of divorce. So we have a contradiction. Pasuk Yirmiyah says, Shilachtiha, I've sent her away, V'etein a sefer kiri suseho eleha. But Yeshaya says, really? Are you divorced? Show me your divorce. So who is this contradiction? The Medrash. And the Medrash says, Moshel Mada V'Doyme, it's Moshel to a king, got into a fight with his wife, drives her out of the palace, sends her a divorce, and then right before, and then the king also dispatches a second messenger, and right before the messenger gives the divorce to the wife, a second messenger comes and chaps away the divorce. So in other words, when he sends out the divorce, he does in front of all of his cabinet. The whole country is watching. My wife is rebellious. I'm going to divorce her. Here's the divorce. Deliver it to her. And all the cameras are rolling. Everyone is watching. And the messenger goes out. And surreptitiously, the king sends out a secret messenger to chap the divorce, to intercept the divorce. So what's the line of Kamina? When the wife comes and complains to the king, King, I'm married to you. You know, just because you threw me out of the palace, but we're married. Support me. You can't let me starve to death. Support me. Give me some parnasa. So the king shows, go to YouTube, look at the YouTube clip. Didn't you see that in front of the whole country, I went and I sent the divorce out to you? I divorced you. I'm not responsible. Good for you. Starve to death. I'm not responsible to support you. Everyone knows I sent out the divorce. But when the wife goes and has a relationship with someone else, the king says, how dare you? You're my wife. I never divorced you. Show me the divorce. Show me the get never reached you. Same thing when Klal Yisrael, we complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, save us. Our enemies are about to destroy us. Save us. Spare us from the enemy. Hashem says, I divorced you. I sent out a divorce. I'm punishing you. You're not my responsibility anymore. I'm not going to help you. But when Klal Yisrael decides, you know what? Okay, you divorced us. So you know what? We'll embrace the secular world. We'll embrace Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, how dare you? You're my people. That's the answer. So therefore, really, there's no contradiction. We never actually received the divorce. The divorce was sent to us for show. For show, as punishment, as an excuse for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look the other way and allow us to be punished in order that we should do tshuva. But never did we actually receive the divorce that we have a right to go and embrace other ideologies and other cultures and other ideas. We're somewhere stuck in between, and that's what it says. We're like an almana. Nishtahi nishtaher. Our husband, like Rashi really summarizes, it's like the husband of Medina Sayyam, he's going to come back. We're not here, we're not there. Yeah.
Solomon has a minute, the first day of Shavuos, they have a
Ksuba.
The second, no,
they read
the
Tanayim. The Tanayim, and the second day they read the Ksuba. They do before they take out the Sefer Torah. When you take out the Sefer Torah, before you take out the Sefer Torah, there's a hefsek. And you read the Tanayim or the Ksuba. I saw the Minigas, they read the Ksuba.
The
first day, the Tanayim, so they do Barabim. It takes time. They read the Tanayim and the Ksuba, the Mithyah Kodesh and Klal Yisrael, in Echlan. So this is the very fascinating idea. Okay, that pretty much concludes Pasuk Aleph. Okay, hopefully we'll pick up some more speed, but the first day was Kedai to spend some more time on the Pasuk.